sheep, not pigs. Or maybe sheep or pigs. Before we begin, we are not disparaging sheep farmers or pig lovers. These are all creatures created by God, and they are good for food. God has given us permission from Holy Scriptures that as long as we give thanks, they are food for us to eat. Although once upon a time in the Old Testament, especially to the Jews, the pigs were considered as unclean animals. But since the founding of the local churches in the book of Acts, God has said that we as Christians, made up of different nationalities, different tongues, different backgrounds, all food is good for food, good for eating. Except refrain from eating of blood and food offered to idols. Other than that, eat all you want. You can eat cockroaches, lizards, anything. Rats, they are all good for food if it is to your taste. So this morning we're not going to talk about diet, but we're going to use these two animals, which topic is taken from the RPG, based upon the memory verse, verse 7, for our instruction. Because in Matthew chapter 5, we are told that those who do not want the word of God do not cast pearls before swines. So there is a spiritual significance in the use of these two animals, sheep, not pigs. Pigs, therefore, are considered as a symbol for those who are not born again. Sheep refers to those who are born again. There is a desire in our hearts somehow to know about salvation. Time and time again, people will ask, is this person safe? Is that person safe? Is this particular person in the Bible, King Saul, was he born again? What about Cain? What about Balaam? What about Jehoshaphat? And then when we talk about the erroneous doctrines of the charismatic movement, and then no matter how the discussion will go, you will inevitably hear a person ask you this question. Can charismatics be saved? Are they found in the kingdom of heaven? And so on and so forth. Somehow or rather, there is this innate desire in us to find out whether a person is safe or not safe. It is a very important question that we need to ask, not about someone else, but about ourselves. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 said that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. He himself said concerning his own salvation, that in the midst of the busyness of service and preaching the gospel, he wanted to make sure that he would not find himself a castaway on the day of judgment. So do not take your salvation for granted. So this morning, we are going to help each and every one of us to determine in our own hearts whether we are sheep or pigs. We pray and hope that all of us are sheep and not pigs. On the day of judgment, it will be made clear, it will be made plain. Your service, your gift of tithe and offering, attendance in church services, in prayer meetings, giving of your lives for full-time ministry, studying in Bible colleges, all these will mean nothing in the sight of God if you are not saved. If you are not considered a sheep in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God. Because God sees the heart. We can't see the heart. So you may be an elder for 30, 40, 50 years of your life. You may be an ordained minister, and it does not matter if you are not born again, if you are not a sheep. As far as God is concerned, all your services, all your so-called preaching and teaching, memorization of God's word, your give of your tithe and offering, will not turn a pig into a sheep. Because salvation is never by works. Furthermore, in Matthew chapter 7, the Bible warns us that in the day of judgment, many will say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have prophesied in thy name. That means there will be many in our age and in our time who will even say the name Jesus Christ, who will be going from place to place, preaching and teaching, and some of them will even claim to have prophecies from God. And they will even boast of casting out demons, performing great signs and wonders, great miracles, in Jesus' name. And Jesus will say, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. In other words, you and I are not Christians because we say we are Christians. It doesn't work that way. Just because you say you're a Christian does not make you a Christian if you're not a sheep. You can say all you want that you are a sheep, but if you are a pig, you will remain a pig. If you don't believe, you ask any pig. No matter how many times you look at the pig and say, this is a sheep, this is a sheep, but this is still a pig. It will never turn the pig into a sheep. Jesus also warns us in Matthew chapter 7, the closing few verses on the Sermon on the Mount, that even if you are found in a fundamentalist church, it is not what you hear that makes you a Christian. You can hear all the sound sermons, all the theologically correct sermons, all you want for the rest of your life. From the day you are born until the day you die at the age of 70, for 70 years, you can immerse yourself in a church all your life. You may even live in a church all your life, and you are still not born again, because you are not saved by being found in a fundamentalist church, by saying you are a Christian. Sheep, not goats. Does that mean that a person cannot know that he is a child of God? No, you can. These three verses give us sufficient understanding to know at least three things to help us evaluate ourselves, not somebody else. Not the husband of the wife of the husband, or the parents of the children, or the children of their parents, but each and every one of us. Are you a sheep or are you a pig? First indicator is found in verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. This speaks of your relationship or your dealings. Your dealings with people on a day-to-day basis. You say you're a Christian? Do you have the Word of God immersed in your day-to-day life? Do you defraud the people that you meet on a daily basis? We're not talking about business, although it includes business. But your day-to-day conversation. Yes means yes. No means no. Because the Bible says anything more than that is evil. It comes from an evil heart. Because there is a hidden agenda. There is deception. And in a world like ours, it is so common. It has become the norm for people to speak with forked tongue. Do you know what is a forked tongue? A forked tongue is somebody who say one thing and means another. Like a serpent. A serpent has a forked tongue. You look at the tongue of a serpent very carefully. Right at the tip of it, it splits into two tongues. Speak like a snake, a serpent, hissing. Defraud one another. Those who commit adultery, you defraud one another. You commit an adultery with a woman who is married to another man, you defraud the husband of that woman. You cheated him of his wife. If a person is single, you cheated that person out of her own integrity. You have cheated, defrauded in your day-to-day conduct and behavior. This is the first measure of someone who is truly born again. If you are truly born again, you will not do something like this. You are going to be very transparent in the way that you conduct yourself. People will look at you and see you as someone who has no guile. They will look at your conduct. They will look at your speech. They will look at your entire life. And when they look at you, they see you. They do not see somebody else. You are not a hypocrite. You are not an actor. You are not a pretender. You are exactly what you are. We are not saying that, well, with all my weaknesses and my faults, we continue to let our weaknesses and our faults remain. We will try to work at them and to improve on them. We are not saying that, well, this is what I am, so take me as I am and that's it. doesn't mean that we're not going to improve. Sure, we will try our best to improve. We're not saying that we are perfect. We all have our weaknesses. We will improve on our weaknesses and we will develop our strengths. That's what a Christian must always do. His life of holiness must grow from strength to strength with every passing day as he walks with the Lord, as he interacts with people. This verse tells us that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. In any matter, whatever it is, small or big, you do not deceive anyone. You do not take advantage of anyone. You will love justice. You will love peace. You will love equity. You can do business. Doesn't mean that you cannot make a living by charging above what you pay as cost price. But you do not take advantage and inflate your profit margin, knowing that you are the only one who has a particular product. So take advantage of those who are poor. The Bible did not say you cannot do business and make profit. The Bible understands. But the Bible warns those who will tamper with their weighing scales, those who will cut corners, those who out of greed will deceive, will cheat, will lie, just to get that extra dollar, just to get that contract, and just to promote themselves. And worse still, you call yourself a Christian. Your dealings with people will testify to your own conscience, to your own soul, whether you are a sheep or whether you are a pig. You cannot be both. It's either or. Your lifestyle, in other words, will determine and will dictate whether you are a sheep or whether you are a goat. You will not defraud your brother in any matter. Why? Because the fear of God will be in your heart. You know that the Lord is the avenger of all such. You know that you will stand before God one day and you will have to give an account to Him, and you will not want to displease Him. You will love Him. And every time you sin, you will be afraid of Him, because you know that He is watching over you, and you do not want His wrath and His anger to fall upon you. You don't want to get Him angry, because you love Him. He is your Heavenly Father. What obedient son would want to purposely do something that is wrong to make the father and the mother angry if they truly love them? No son, no daughter would ever do that. Is that not true in your life as well, from a human standpoint? You'll never want to do that. You do not defraud, not because you're not going to get caught. You do not defraud because you know your Heavenly Father watches. Whether you are here or you're 1,000 miles away from home, all alone in your hotel room, and then there is a knock on the door. You open the door, you peep from the spy hole. You see a pretty girl standing right there. You're all alone. You just quarreled with your wife and you left and you've gone overseas on business. Are you foolish enough to succumb to such an evil temptation? Or would the fear of God cause you to kneel down and pray and to ask the Lord for strength, to not fall into such sin? Very often, we play games with ourselves. We think that if nobody knows, we can do it. Nobody sees, we can do it. And we defraud people. We cheat. We never realize that fornication, adultery is cheating, defrauding. You defraud a parent of their daughter, of their son, when you lead them into sin. You defraud a person, your colleague, your friend, when you stab them in the back, when you betray their trust, when you take advantage of their sincerity and their help for your own gain at their expense. You have defrauded. You have not given up your tithe and your offering. You have defrauded God. You have defrauded one another. And then at the same time, we come to church and we say all kinds of wonderful words. We sing wonderful hymns. We memorize scriptures. We pray. We read God's word. And then from Monday to Saturday, we live like devils. We defraud people. And then we come to church, we're defrauding ourselves. We're defrauding God. Living a life of a hypocrite. And no matter how time and time again we listen to the word of God, somehow there is an automatic switch, an automatic cut off, like a the kind of trip safety that you find in our electrical system. The moment there is an overload, the moment there is an electrical appliance that is faulty, the whole house will trip. There's some kind of trigger in our mind. We just shut off and telling the Lord, let me do my own thing. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for reserving a place for me in heaven. There is a mansion that you have prepared for me. But please, in this life on earth, let me live my life my way. Somehow we have made this kind of an arrangement with God, failing to realize that that kind of salvation is never taught in scriptures. There is no such salvation described for us in the Bible. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you be my disciple, you must first deny yourself. That means there's no more self. No more what I want, no more my ambition. What I want now becomes, God, what do you want with my life? My ambition becomes, Lord, what do you want to do with my ambition? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do with my life? And then once you have denied yourself, then you take up the cross daily. Then God will tell you what He wants of you, of your life. And every day, the Bible says, you do what God wants you to do on a daily basis. Then Jesus says, then you follow me. Step one, step two, step three. Following God must first be preceded by one and two. If you are not prepared for one and two, you will not arrive at number three. You cannot follow the Lord on your own terms. It doesn't work that way. God is not our servant, our maid. He is not Santa Claus. God is Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who gives us life. He is the one who takes our life. He is the one who can do anything to us. But we thank God that He is a good God. And He has been very patient and long-suffering in dealing with us. Just because He had not sent lightning and thunder to strike us dead does not mean that He does not know. You have procrastinated, you have continued in your journey of waywardness, and everything seems to work out so well. You are still healthy, you are still strong, your business is good, you still have a good job, and you think that, well, all is well. All is well, and you have been going your own way, and nothing happens to you, and you think all is well. You better check two things. God says in Hebrews 14, if I am a heavenly Father, see my son, my daughter, running away, living a wayward life, do you think I should discipline that person? You as a father, seeing your son, your daughter living a wayward life, telling lies all the time, playing truant in school, would you as a father or mother do something, or would you just close your eyes and let your son continue in his waywardness? You as a human father, in sin, never perfect, would not want to see that happen to your son, your daughter. You would want to discipline and arrest the problem immediately because you love them. How much more your heavenly Father? You think if I see my son, my daughter wayward, and I do nothing, would that not make me a derelict father in heaven? God will never, never do that. And if you are truly born again, God says, I will discipline you. But if you continue on and nothing seems to happen to you year after year, year after year, and you call yourself a Christian and God never disciplined you and you know you are in the wrong, perhaps you are not God's child. That's why nothing happens to you. You are not God's child because God is never a derelict father. If He is a loving heavenly Father and He knows you are wayward, you think He will not draw you back ASAP? As soon as possible, He would. If you continue to defraud time and time again, you think God does not know? God knows. He is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified time and time again. The Apostle Paul experienced it in his own life. There are many, many examples in the Old Testament that God will deal with His own children who disobey Him. You ask the Israelites who perish in the wilderness. You ask Moses who disobeyed the Lord because he took matters into his own hands. He was forbidden to enter the promised land. You ask King Solomon, because of him the kingdom was divided into two. Because they were God's children. God dealt with them when they defrauded. God is no respecter of persons. If we are sheep, then let the dealings that we have with people be our first yardstick to measure our own heart. Am I a sheep or am I a pig? Don't deceive yourself. No one will lose but yourself. And those who are closest to you will also lose because they will see your hypocrisy and they will in turn despise Christ because of your hypocrisy. Sheep or pigs? Your life on a daily basis, Monday to Saturday, will reveal exactly who you are. Your private life and your public life will tell your dealings with people. The only time when you stop dealing with people is when you breathe your last breath. When you are dead, you don't deal with people any longer. The moment you wake up, you start dealing with people. From the moment you wake up as a son, as a daughter, as a parent, how you begin your day, how you react and respond, will tell. You pray before you begin the day. You thank God before you begin the day. You thank God before you lay down to sleep because the Lord has been watching you throughout the day. Or you take your day for granted. Day in, day out has become a routine where you continue to defraud and take advantage and you don't even feel bad about it any longer because you're so used to it. And then you call yourself a Christian. Think very, very carefully. Your dealing, your relationship with people, with circumstances, will reveal whether you are a sheep or a pig. Second indicator, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Your calling, your life. Holiness or uncleanness. That's the bottom line. Holiness or uncleanness has nothing to do with how many times you take your shower. It's what you do with your soul. What goes in and what comes out. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Please do not think that how you dress is not important. Let's begin with our dressing. Don't just dress nicely on Sunday. Dress nicely every day of your life. Modestly is the guide. Don't let fashion dictate. Christian girls should not wear miniskirts. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Don't say summertime, I wear. Wintertime, I don't wear. In Singapore, no winter. Every day is summer. In America, yes. Wintertime, everybody well covered up because it's cold. Summertime is different. How you dress, dear friends, it will reflect. Uncleanness or holiness. Your fashion. Tattoos. Earrings for men. Nose rings. Tongue ring. Belly ring. All kinds of rings. People with many earrings. So fashion conscious. Let the world dictate how I appear and how I dress. Don't say and deceive yourself. Oh, it's what I am in my heart that God cares. How I am outside doesn't matter. How you are outside reflect what you are inside. Is that not true? Went into the room of someone who had killed himself. Was asked to go in there to help search out the room, tidy up the room. And I went in there, I got a shock of my life. The bed sheet was supposed to be white. It was grey, brown, filthy. All the shoes and the boots were kicked with dust and dirt, piled high. And on another corner, nearly right up to the ceiling, boxes and boxes and boxes of half-consumed pizza and bottles of Coke, Pepsi, all half-drunk, piled one on top of the other. Dust and dirt everywhere. Dirty laundry everywhere. The whole place was filthy. It reflected the kind of mind that this person had. Unsound mind. This person needed to take medicine in order just to be normal. Just to be normal. And I was told only after the death of this person that when this person saw my children when they were very young, time and time again, he confessed to another person that I felt like taking Reverend Craig's children and throw them down the balcony. My children did not know that until today. They were very young then. I did not know that until this person has died. His mind was all messed up and was reflected by the way that he lived. No one was allowed to enter his room until after his death. Then we went in. And please don't deceive yourself by saying that God only looks at my heart. I can dress any way I like on Sunday. And that's how many of us dress. Any way we like on Sunday. Any way. It doesn't matter. Because that's what we dress on Monday to Saturday. I dress what I like on Monday to Saturday, don't I? So on Sunday we do the same. We do the same. We're not asking you to all come to church wearing tuxedo, wearing evening gown. We just simply use the Bible as a guideline. Modesty. That's it. Modesty. How do you define modesty? You know how you define modesty. For the ladies and for the guys, you know what is modesty. You don't dress to show off your body. Christians do not do that. Whether Monday or Sunday, you don't do that. Don't say you dress modestly on Sunday because we are among Christians. But in the world, I must dress like the world. I must dress like the world 100%. You don't do that. Because you are called unto holiness. Your dressing determines. The places you go is the second step. Holiness. A person who is holy, a person who is set apart for God, who understands what it means to be called. Called to salvation means you are called to live a life of holiness. Not only to avoid the places that are sinful and wicked, but to do that which is good and well-pleasing in the sight of God. To think godly thoughts, to think pure thoughts. Holy living. The way you talk, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself. Holy living. You think of others. You have done something wrong, you ask for forgiveness. And the person has done something wrong to you, you learn to forgive. You are not greedy. You are kind. You are gentle. You are merciful. You are gracious. You control your temper. You do not indulge. Holy living. And not uncleanness. Now remember the verses before these three verses? Fornication is one of them. Last week we talked about fornicators and adulterers have no part in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you are holy. You are holy. Be careful of the films, the movies that you watch. RA movies. Oh, Academy Award. That must be good. You see, you allow the world to dictate what you watch. They say that it is good. Who say? The worldly people. What worldly people? The worldly people with the worldly standards. They say a homosexual movie deserves an Academy Award. So it must be good because it promotes an alternate lifestyle. Why do you think all these movies are becoming more and more prominent and popular? 50 years ago, it was so shameful to be a homosexual. You will hide in dark corners and dark streets and you will not dare to come out until the sun has set and the moon comes up. You will not dare to show yourself. You are ashamed. But with Hollywood, with Bollywood, with all the publicity and all the acceptance, now it becomes a way of life. There is Mardi Gras. People can dare to march across the main streets in many cities, proclaiming that they are this and they are that. And to make matters worse, you have pastors who are gays. Where is holy living? We are living in a world that is so wicked and sinful. And the standard of morality and holiness has continued to drop with every passing year. It keeps on dropping and dropping and dropping. Do you know there's a church called the Nudist Church? Nudist Church. Imagine a nudist church. You have nudist camp, that's one thing, but now you have nudist church with a new pastor preaching to all nudist people. Crazy! In America! In America, crazy! We're living in a world that is really sick. But are you surprised? No, you should not be, because Jesus already warns us, when I return, the world will be like one gigantic global Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was a time where you have the richest and the poorest, the youngest and the oldest, indulging in fornication and a homosexual lifestyle. Youngest to the oldest, including children, dear friends, including children. Are we not seeing this before our very eyes? The only safety is salvation in Jesus Christ. Because salvation in Jesus Christ would cause us to live a holy life. That's the only protection that our sons and our daughters can have. Nowhere else. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to keep your son and your daughter holy and pure? Make sure that they find salvation. But how do they find salvation when they see our lives, a life full of hypocrisy? They can't. They will despise Christ. How will the world going to find salvation when they look at our lives? Will they? The way that we dress, the way that we speak, the way that we live, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we relate to them, the way that we deal with them. Second point is the way that we deal with ourselves. Holiness is ourselves. First point is how we deal with others. The two combined together must be one. They must not conflict or contradict one another. Holy living. Not unclean. Why? Because you are called. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but God has called us unto holy living, holiness, as Christians. That's what Christians are. Remember, not what you say, not by hearing, but by the way that we live. Publicly, verse 1. Privately, verse 2. How we relate to God in the way that we are, in the way that we dress, in the way that we think, in the way that we live. Whether it is private or public, whether my mom, my dad, they are watching over me, over my shoulder, it doesn't matter. Whether they are there or they are not there, they can see and they will know that I will not do anything that is wicked and wrong. Many young people behind their parents would do so many wrong things. So many wrong things. When the parents are there, they behave. When the parents are not there, they misbehave. Because they feel that they do not know. So sad, isn't it? So very sad, living in a world that is so wicked and so dark. You fear for your children, parents? Children, you fear for your parents? Those who are unsafe? Only safety is in the Lord Jesus Christ. No deception, no self-deception, only in Christ. And in Christ would mean our lives are with one another is transformed. Our own private and personal life is transformed from inside out because I'm holy inside. Therefore, my dressing, my outward life must reflect what I am now inside. That's why God used the word holiness. Sheep, not goats. You can dress yourself in sheep if you are inside a pig or a goat. That's what you will remain. You cannot deceive the Lord. And please don't deceive yourself. Third and final. Verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Sheep, not goats, not pigs, because of our relationship with others, because of our relationship with ourselves, your holiness, your way of life, your calling. And the third one is your salvation. You know. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you. The indwelling of the Spirit of God, your salvation. You know it. Your salvation will let you know whether you are a sheep or whether you are a pig. Because the Spirit of God, the Bible says in verse 8, He has given to us His Holy Spirit. Those who have the Spirit of God will do at least this one thing. Verse 8a, He therefore that despiseth what? The word despiseth is in the present tense. Continues to despise, continue to hate. Hate what? Well, He therefore that despiseth not man but God. That means the Word of God. Those who say, oh yeah, to the Word of God. Those who refuse to listen to the Word of God. Those who will give the Word of God only lip service. Yeah, I agree with you, And then they continue to live a life as if they have never heard the Word of God at all. That's what it means. Despise what? Despise the Word of God. That's what this whole passage, this whole book is all about. Those who despise, they do not despise man, but the Word of God itself. That's why Paul says earlier, I hope you remember, in chapter 2, Paul said this, for this cause we also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Despise the word of God. those who hear the word of God and cry for a while, after they heard the word of God, they feel bad for a while and they shed crocodile tears. And then the moment they walk out of this sanctuary and they go into the world, and a little bit of persecution comes, a little bit of fear, a little bit of pressure from the world, and they just throw everything out. These are those who despise the word of God. They play games with God. Or there are those who say, yes, I believe in the word of God. They will receive it and they are so happy to receive the word of God. But the moment they go out, they allow the cares of the world, the busyness of bringing up children, the busyness of building up their own career, the busyness of promoting self and getting that extra bonus and extra dollar, all these things will crowd out the obedience to the word of God. Or the deceitfulness of riches will come knocking on their door, and they will allow the deceitfulness of riches to crowd out the word of God so much so that there is no fruit in their lives. Now, these are all taken from Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. These are the kinds of grounds that are described there, which you have just heard. I just related it to you. That's the kind of ground. Those who receive the word of God, they cry, they say, yeah, very good, very good. It warms my heart to listen to the word of God, but once you go out, they forget everything. Persecution, cares of the world, most dangerous is the cares of the world, because cares of the world is so neutral. It's not wrong to be loving our children, to allow the family life, the career, all this to crowd out the word of God, because it is not wrong per se to have a career, it is not wrong to have children, it is not wrong to look after our children, but when these things crowd out the love of God, the word of God in our lives, they become wrong. How you react and respond to the word of God, God says, will tell. Because the Spirit of God is inside you. It's inside of you. First, how you relate to the world. Second, how you relate to self. Third, how you relate to the word of God. These are the three things you can use to measure. How you relate to the world. How do they see you? Honest person. A man or woman full of integrity. How you relate to yourself, your holy living, your dressing, the places you go, private and public. How you relate to the Word of God. The Spirit of God, God says, inside you, will love to listen to the Word of God, will embrace the Word of God, will drink in the Word of God, will have the Word of God in his heart, will do anything for the Word of God, because the Spirit of God in you will want the Word of God more and more and more and more and more. It will always be the milk and meat to your hungry soul. You'll put the Word of God as a very high priority. You'll study the Word of God. You'll spare no effort in the study of God's Word. That's what the Bible means when it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The word study there means to spare no effort continuously to make sure that the Word of God is embraced and practiced in my life. Why? Because the Spirit of God is inside the Christian. The Bible says so. And the Spirit of God will automatically causes you to love the Word of God. It's not something that you pretend or fake. It's real and it's sincere and it's genuine. Before you are born again, you despise the Word of God. You don't care the Word of God. You read it, it's just like a history book full of killing and blood and so on. But once you become a Christian, the Word of God takes on total different special meaning. You are prepared to do anything for the Word of God. You love it. You love it. There's a hunger for the Word of God. Morning service is not enough. You want to attend evening service, and if there's an afternoon service, you attend the afternoon service, and you spend the whole day in church, and you will enjoy it. It is a blessed and a wonderful time, because the Spirit of God is in you. You love the Word of God. Have you had that experience before? Where you love to attend the Word of God, attend church, to be with God's people, to listen to the Word of God. You search out the papers wherever there is an evening service. You take the bus. You travel 1 hour, 2 hours, no matter which corner of Singapore, it doesn't matter. You just make sure that you find and to receive the Word of God. Have you ever had that experience? Where you spend money and you buy books to help you understand the Word of God. You spare no effort. There is a thrill, there is a joy when you discover the jewels and the gems that are found in the Word of God. You had that experience? The Spirit of God, the Bible says, will cause us to have that experience. We will not despise it. We will love it. We will love it. The Word of God. Your relationship to others, to yourself, and to the Word of God. DHW, BBK classes, contact groups, YF, YAF, Teens Fellowship, Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, DHW, all these are avenues where the Word of God is taught. When was the last time you attended AF? There are so many adults here. Adult fellowship. Attend to encourage, to be encouraged. Remember, did you sign a contract with the Lord? Just give me a place in heaven. Let me do whatever I want on earth. That salvation is never, never found in the Bible. If you have ever, ever thought that way, please rethink. Maybe we should change our church membership application form. Because we put down there all the questions, you see. Are you prepared to attend midweek prayer meeting? No. Are you prepared to attend evening Sunday? No. And you still receive me into membership. But this is my contract with the church, right? I said no, no, no. And you still want me, so okay. Right? So maybe it's our fault. Maybe we should change it. And yet we can't. You know why we can't? Force? Because we cannot legislate obedience. We would love everyone to attend evening service and attend midweek prayer meeting. And if you're an adult, to attend adult fellowship, attend young adults and the teens and the youth and all this. We pray and we wish. But we know we cannot legislate and turn this into a legal external obedience for membership. Then either you don't be a member. I just come, I don't be a member. Or if I be a member, and then I just go through the motion and all you see are just the externals. I come for a midweek prayer meeting. I do all these things just to maintain my membership. Because if I'm not a member, I'll probably not be allowed to marry in the church. The pastor will not bury me when I die. So I want to be properly buried, properly married. So therefore, I force myself to be a member. And so you go through the motion and everything becomes external. We know that obedience must come from the heart. It cannot be legislated. Nobody can force you to give. And we don't want to force anybody to give. If you're not prepared to give willingly, please don't give. If you're not a Christian, please don't give. Coming to midweek prayer meeting is the same thing. If it is not from the heart, please don't come. You must come because you want to come. It is the right thing to come. You are burdened to come. Same with the evening service, same with the study of God's Word, same, all these things. It's a relationship that you have to do it because it's inside you. You're a Christian. You don't fake it, you don't force it, because the only loser is yourself. You can only lose and deceive people for how long? For how long? Rest of your life, and then what? You think you can deceive God for 1 millisecond? You can't. 1 nanosecond? You can't deceive Him. He is not fooled. He knows whether you're a sheep or whether you're a pig. He knows right now whether you're a sheep or you're a pig. We all look the same. As far as He's concerned, we all may look like sheep. But God knows. Because God sees your dealings with others. God sees your uncleanness or your holiness. God sees whether you despise the word of God, whether you see it as, oh, that's the word of man, not the word of God. But the Spirit of God inside you will reveal three things. Let us all examine our own hearts concerning these three things. You know, God knows. Your wife will not know, your husband will not. Nobody will know. Nobody can answer this for you, isn't it? Only you can answer this. Are you a sheep? Or are you a pig? Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord. Help us to be true and to be honest with ourselves. For we live in a world that is wicked. We live in a world where Satan is the prince and he continues to deceive, giving us the false notion and impression that this world is our home, that this world is all we need for all eternity. O Lord, how great a lie that has been. May Thou be merciful to cause each and every one of us to examine our own hearts, whether we are sheep or whether we are pigs. O Lord, we pray that Thou will help us to understand what it means to become a Christian, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior who died for us, that we may learn to relate to others, to live a holy life because we are called unto holiness, and to love Thy holy word because of the Spirit of God who indwells us, who will cause us to understand Thy word and to love it. O Lord, make us. Make us, O Lord, men and women after Thy own heart. Help us to realize and to understand what it means to be a Christian. For You know our hearts and our life, and we cannot deceive You. O Lord, break every heart that refuses to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
The person may be coming, may have come to church week after week, and yet has not committed himself or herself before the cross. O Lord, may thy Holy Spirit bring conviction, for salvation truly is of the Lord. O Lord, this is our humble cry, that there be no pigs or goats in this congregation, but that all of us truly are your sheep. Help us, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.